Ever get that little jolt of worry when you're hailing a ride late at night? Now picture that feeling. But it's not just about safety. It's about whether the driver will even let you in the car because you have a service dog.
Unfortunately, that's a reality for a lot of people.
It's the reality Ronza Offman faced. And her story, Uber Almost Got Me Killed, published in the Braille Monitor, is a deep dive into the dark side of ride shares.
This isn't just a random complaint either. This comes from someone who really knows her stuff.
Exactly. And that's what makes this story so powerful. We're talking about Ronza Offman, a lawyer.
And not just any lawyer. She's the president of the National Association of Blind Lawyers.
Right. And the National Association of Blind Government Employees. She's a powerhouse for disability rights. She knows the law inside and out.
So when she says she was discriminated against, people listen, and they should.
Absolutely. Her story starts at the National Federation of the Blind Convention in Houston. She's out with a group, lawyers, scholarship finalists. One of them has a guide dog. Pretty normal stuff.
Sounds like a typical evening.
Exactly. Late night, they call an Uber to get back to the hotel. Harmless, right?
You'd think so. That's where it gets scary.
So, Uber arrives. Everyone piles in. Right away, Ronza says the driver, a guy named Troy, zeroes in on the guide dog.
Oh, I can already see where this is going.
It gets worse. He starts going on about his $60,000 Mercedes. Like, that's supposed to justify something.
As if a fancy car means you can disregard the law.
Exactly. And, of course, he totally blows off their explanation that it's a service animal protected under the ADA.
Which, just to be clear, means he legally has to let them ride. This isn't a suggestion, it's the law.
He's about to get a crash course in that. He starts yelling at them to get out, saying he can refuse service to anyone.
That's actually a really common misunderstanding of the ADA. While businesses can refuse service in certain cases, it can never be based on discriminatory reasons, especially not for having a service animal.
It's just wrong. Thankfully, Ronza and the student with the guide dog, they stand their ground. They know their rights. They're not budging.
Good for them.
So this guy, Troy, gets out of the car, starts yelling in the street. They're in a quiet neighborhood. This is causing a scene.
The audacity is unbelievable.
And it gets wilder. So two of the people in the back with Ronza, they decide to get out of the car. Maybe they felt unsafe. Maybe they're trying to calm things down. Who knows?
It's scary to think what must have been going through their heads.
Right. But Ronza and the student with the guide dog, they stay put.
Probably a smart move in hindsight. They had witnesses.
Exactly. But then this Troy guy, he opens the back door and tries to yank the guide dog out of the car.
He physically grabbed the dog.
Tried to. The student, thankfully, she's got a good grip on the harness. She's yelling that it's a service animal. He's hurting him the whole nine yards. But he's pulling on the harness so hard that she has to wrap her arms around her dog to keep from being dragged out.
This is assault, plain and simple. We said it before, but harming a guide dog is the same as harming the handler under the law.
And get this, Ronza, seeing this is going nowhere good, throws her arms around this student to try and stop them both from being pulled out.
He's got to be kidding.
Now he's dragging all three of them towards the car door. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he finally lets go, backs off for a minute. You'd think at this point, he'd get the hint.
You'd hope.
But no. Instead, he just gets worse. But before things spiral even further, Ronza does something really smart. She calls 911.
Good. Get the police involved.
Right. And while she's on the phone with 911, she also calls Uber support.
Documenting everything. She's thinking 10 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, considering the stress she must be under.
She's got it together. But unfortunately, this is just the beginning. It's like her instincts are on high alert. You know, this guy's dangerous. She's got to protect herself and her friends.
Absolutely. She's thinking clearly under incredible pressure.
So she's on the phone with Uber support, right in the middle of explaining what just happened, when Troy comes back for round two.
He assaults them again.
Tries to. Starts yanking on the guide dog and the student. Same thing all over again.
While she's still on the phone with Uber, what are they doing?
You'd think they'd be scrambling to get someone out there.
Right.
Right? Or at least call the cops themselves.
Seriously, at the bare minimum.
But according to Ronza, they basically just take down the information.
Oh, come on. It's like they care more about their process than about their passenger's safety. It's unreal.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Right. And it gets worse. So now the guide dog, understandably, is freaking out a little. The student's terrified.
I can't even imagine.
So she decides to get out of the car, check on her dog, you know, try and calm things down. But Ronza stays put.
Good. She's thinking clearly.
She knows if she gets out, this guy's just going to drive off. they'll never be able to hold him accountable. Now, remember those neighbors that heard all the commotion earlier?
Yeah, I was wondering about them.
Turns out, one of them called their local police department, Harris County PD. They get there before the Houston PD that Ronza had called. And that's where things really go sideways.
The discrimination, it gets worse.
Sadly, yeah. So according to Ronza, the driver, Troy, he spots the police first. And he feeds them some story about being afraid of her. So she's refusing to leave his car, might even have a weapon.
Oh, no. Playing right into those horrible stereotypes.
It's like a horrible cliche, and it's happened to her right now. And keep in mind, Ronza's blind. She's alone in this car. She has no idea what's happening outside.
Mm-hmm.
So this female officer, she comes up to the car, doesn't even say who she is, just starts yelling at Ronza to put her hands where she can see them.
No way.
Then shines this bright flashlight right in Ronza's face.
Hold on. She's shining a flashlight at a blind woman? That's just cruel.
It's beyond the pale. And it gets worse, remember. Ronza is still on the phone with people this whole time, friends, colleagues, trying to get help. They can hear all of this going on.
I can't imagine what they must be feeling listening to that.
It's got to be awful.
Oh.
So the officer finally says she's Harris County PD, starts questioning Ronza, but in this really slow, loud voice, like she doesn't understand English, all while keeping her gun pointed right at her.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable. She's being treated like a criminal. Because a rideshare driver decided to discriminate against her.
It's insane, right? And as if that wasn't bad enough, the officer starts asking about her immigration status.
Seriously?
Like, assume she's undocumented.
Yeah.
Ronza actually has to explain to this officer that she doesn't have a driver's license because she's blind.
This is just layer upon layer of injustice. You can really see how implicit bias plays out in a terrifying way. And who knows how often this has happened without someone like Ronza there to speak up.
Exactly. And all of this, her friends are right there trying to tell the officers what happened, showing them Uber's policy on service animals. It's like they're not even listening.
It's like they've already made up their minds. They don't want to hear it.
It's so frustrating.
Mm.
But thankfully, finally, the Houston PD that Ronza called, they show up.
Yeah.
And they're completely different. Listen to Ronza and her friends, take statements, actually seem to understand what the ADA is.
Thank goodness. Finally, some common sense.
Right. But even then, they don't arrest the driver. They say they need to investigate.
Which I get, there's procedure. But can you imagine being Ronza at this point? After all of that, it's still not over.
It's unbelievable. And it gets worse. Remember that complaint she made to Uber support?
Oh no, don't tell me.
A couple days later, they suspend her account.
They suspended her? Are you serious?
Apparently this guy, Troy, he filed a complaint against her. Said she threatened him. And Uber, without even looking into it, they believed him.
So not only did they not help her when it happened, now they're punishing her for reporting it.
Talk about adding insult to injury. Seriously, it's like they're saying, don't you dare report this.
It's a real eye-opener about the power dynamics at play. You have this corporation, Uber, siding with a driver who totally disregarded their own rules, probably to avoid a lawsuit or bad press.
Makes you wonder who they're really looking out for.
Right, and it makes you question how serious they are about accessibility, about dealing with discrimination on their platform.
No kidding. Though in their defense, the president of the National Federation of the Blind, when he heard about this whole mess, he actually reached out to Uber directly. They had a meeting with Ronza and the students.
Okay, so at least someone's trying to talk about it, maybe get some accountability.
You'd hope so, right.
But
according to Ronza, even though Uber made a lot of promises in that meeting, over a year later, nothing's changed.
It's a pattern we've seen before, unfortunately. Companies, they're quick with the apologies and promises when everyone's watching, but actually changing how things work, that's a different story.
It's discouraging, for sure. But Ronza, she didn't just let it go. She filed complaints with the Department of Justice against both the Harris County Police Department and against Uber.
Going after both the police and the corporation, that's impressive. That could lead to some real changes.
Exactly. So what happened? Did anything come of those complaints? Well, sadly, the DOJ closed the case against the police department. Nothing happened. And the complaint against Uber. Ronza hadn't heard anything back by the time she wrote the article.
So it's still ongoing. That's something else. And it shows how tricky these situations are. Police misconduct, corporate accountability. Those are tough nuts to crack, even with clear evidence getting justice. It's a long road.
It's a lot to process. But here's what really got to me. Ronza, she ends her story by saying this wasn't a one-time thing. She says she hears from people practically every week who were denied rides because they have a guide dog or use a white cane.
Sadly, that doesn't surprise me. This is much bigger than one rideshare company. We're talking about deeply rooted biases, a lack of understanding about disability rights.
It's like that fear we were talking about before, that worry about being treated differently. It's a constant for so many people with disabilities. And it makes you wonder how many people are staying silent, afraid to speak up, worried about retaliation, or just thinking, what's the point?
It's a valid fear, and it just shows how much we need awareness, education, empathy. We need a society where everyone feels safe, respected, and empowered to advocate for themselves.
Absolutely. Ronza's story is a wake-up call, a reminder that we've got a long way to go to be truly inclusive and accessible. But it also shows the impact of raising your voice, sharing your story, fighting back against injustice.
Because ultimately, things change when we stop accepting things as they are, when we listen to those who are often ignored, when we demand better, not just for ourselves, but for everyone.
So think about it. What would you do if you saw someone being treated unfairly because of a disability? How can we, each of us, and as a society, make sure everyone has access to safe and reliable transportation? We all need to be asking these questions because silence only makes the problem worse. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.